starting a new sermon series, calling it kind of Be Fruitful and Multiply. And, let's just dive right in. How many of you have ever, or how many of you have to do, like, a yearly physical? You know, some of you? Some of you, all right, how many of you have to, but you haven't been? You know, just kind of been dodging those? I didn't think I'd see as many hands. You know, because I've actually been doing the physicals for as long as I can remember, because my insurance company before I became a pastor, and then my wife's insurance company through the Southington school system, they demand you have to have a yearly physical. And matter of fact, if you don't, then they won't cover you. Which I guess that kind of makes sense, right? Because you want to have the ability to find out if problems are happening before they happen or really early on, right? So it's much easier to deal with them once you know. But look, the truth is, I don't like my physical. Maybe you do, I don't, but sitting in a cold room in a gown and in my underwear, you know, I'm not very comfortable. It's really cold because it's not like they're like, you know, they sit you in there. It's not like they come immediately. You got to sit there for a while with, like, I guess, a 3-year-old magazine or something like that. And I don't know about you, but I don't feel very masculine sitting in a gown on top of a white piece of paper. You know, and look, I don't like the fact I'm there and, I mean, every year it's the same thing. All right, step on the scale. So I step on the scale, and so I don't know if I've gained or if I've lost or I'm about the same. And then I know what's coming next is the blood pressure thing. And I'm, you know, so in my mind, I hope I don't have any blood pressure. So I'm there, and I'm getting stressed out about it. So what happens? So, of course, you know, my blood pressure is now through the roof, you know. And look, being a guy, and maybe most of the guys will just understand this, I don't like the white glove and the coughing and all that. I mean, like I said, ladies, you may not know this. You got worse things, so I'll leave it at that. But I don't like that. Plus, I get asked, you know, well, what's your exercise like? You know, I mean, you know, and like, what are you eating? And all the questions to kind of assess where I am health-wise. And, truth be told, early on, I wasn't always really truthful with the doctor. Look, I didn't lie, all right? I was just very creative in my answers that I would give the doctor, you know, or I would just leave out key information, you know, because, look, I didn't want him to be telling me what I had to change or fix. And but now, all right, so I've been growing up, I'm a little more mature, and I actually tell the doctor the truth, you know, which is what you're supposed to do, right? Well, I think it's time for us, it's in January, I think it's time for us as a family to have our yearly physical, okay? So what I want to do is, you know, we need to look in a mirror and kind of see where we're at. Or maybe if we're really daring, we'll ask someone who's really close to us to look in the mirror with us and kind of give us an assessment of what they see. So, because each one of us has the ability to either, you know, cause lots of fruit to grow in our life or potentially to not have any fruit in our life or maybe even bad fruit in our life. But we learned last week, though, that fruitlessness is not an option for those who follow Jesus, right? Remember that verse? And I'll have the verses behind me if you want to follow along. In John chapter 15, verse 1, it says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, I spent a lot of time last week covering that. If you weren't here, grab the CD or download it from the website. But today we're going to look at our hearts. See, one of the reasons why I didn't like going to the doctor, like I said, was the scale and the blood pressure. You know, because when I was heavier than what I, you know, was last year, the doctor would normally ask, all right, well, what have you been eating? You know, and if my blood pressure or my cholesterol was like high, he would be asking me and saying, well, what have you been eating? And I didn't want to tell him that. I mean, because we know that we are what we eat, right? See, whatever I put inside me eventually comes out. It does. Kind of reminds me another verse from last week. That's Matthew chapter 12, 33 through 35. It says, make a good tree and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. So, if you want to know what's inside of a person, right, just listen to him for a while. Now, can someone fake, at least for a short time, what's inside of them? They can, right? But I'm telling you, if you're around someone long enough, eventually what is inside their heart will come out. And you'll see the true person. You will. But see, knowing that, we really got to be careful on what we're feeding on. It's called nutrition, right? Nutrition, I looked it up, it's the process of getting the food necessary for health and growth. Because we know we need certain vitamins and minerals and other things to make sure that we stay healthy, right? We need those things. Matter of fact, people in poorer countries, they have all types of problems because they don't get proper nutrition, which causes them to be more susceptible to sickness and things. Well, for example, does anyone here work at McDonald's? Oh, you do? Okay. Well, actually, my middle son, Philip, when he's home from college, he works at McDonald's as well. I don't want to offend anyone, but I can tell you eating just food from McDonald's only is not the best way to grow. You will grow, just not in the way that you may want to grow. If you kind of, matter of fact, they did a documentary a number of years ago about someone who literally for 1 month, that's all they ate, was McDonald's food. And they would rotate through all the different things on the menu and they would just eat it for a whole month. The damage it did to this person was incredible. Matter of fact, it said it took him 14 months just to get back to where he was health-wise before he started. That's crazy. Well, this morning what I want to do is I want to look at a person in the Old Testament. Actually, it's four different people who were very careful in what they ate. You can turn with me in your Bibles to Daniel. I'm going to be in Daniel chapter 1. We're going to read a story about Daniel and his three friends. And they were captured. At this time, the nation of Israel was conquered by the Babylonian Empire. And these four ones were taken as captives. And they were going to be, really, it was for the purpose of transforming them into servants for their new king. And they were given some time to kind of learn the culture, the language, really everything that they were going to need in order to do their job well for their new king. Now, what we're going to see here this morning is that Daniel and his friends were forced to make a really tough decision. So I'm going to start in Daniel 1, verse 8. I'll read you the first part of it. It says, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine he drank. See, because one thing we're going to learn was that Daniel and his three friends were kind of demanded that you will eat the exact same food that the king eats. What he eats and what he drinks, you have to. Now, that was actually done for a reason, because they wanted them to be as healthy as possible. In their minds, we want to make sure that you are given every opportunity to be the best servants of this new king as possible. So if you're going to be in the king's court serving him, we want you to be basically the best you can possibly be. It's interesting, though, it says, but Daniel resolved. I looked up the word resolve. If you look it up in the original text, the word resolved here means to purpose, to commit, and to decide. It's with no turning back or willingness to change their mind. This is their way of saying that regardless of the consequences, we won't do it. The decision has already been made. Their commitment in this was unbreakable. Matter of fact, we know that they had purposed in their heart what they were going to do, and they were going to do it no matter what. Now, some of you may think, but wait a minute. What's the big deal here? I mean, think about this. You're a prisoner of war, and believe it or not, you're actually lucky, because what they're saying is, all right, A, we didn't kill you, because that's what they did to most people they conquered, and B, we didn't make you like slaves doing like really either very dangerous or very hard work. We're actually going to let you be a servant in the king's court. I mean, if you think about it, that's probably the best thing that could have happened to them. And if you think about it, trust me, the other captives were not eating the king's food and you know, drinking his wine. So if you take that at face value, you'd be like, what's the problem here? Because you kind of got it made. And to be honest, does it make sense if you're a captive to fight against this? Because if you fight against this, what's probably going to happen to you? You're a captive. You're going to die. Right, exactly. So let's read the whole verse 8. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. Now, we see the word defiled here used twice, right? It means to pollute, to soil, or to stain. So obviously, Daniel believed that eating and drinking this food and drinking the wine was somehow wrong. And actually, it is. If you look at tradition, every bit of food that was served to the king of the Babylonian Empire was sacrificed to their gods. They literally would take the food and it would be sacrificed to their idols. It would be consecrated to them. And one of the laws that God made sure that he said to the people of Israel is, whatever you do, do not do this. Do not eat food that is sacrificed to other gods. Don't do it. So if they did this, they literally would have been completely disobedient to God and probably would have ruined their relationship with God. But what I like here is, did you notice how Daniel approached the problem? Now, did he go up to the chief and say, buddy, I don't care what you say, I'm not eating your food. Matter of fact, I'd rather die. I'm not eating your food. Your food is defiled, and no, there's no way I'm going to do it. Did we see him do that? It's interesting because he went to the chief and asked if he would be allowed to not defile himself. Now, the word allowed, it's an interesting word. It means to request, to desire, to seek. It's actually the word used when the Israelites were talking about making a request to God. It's the word they use for when they brought something to God, either through prayer or for worship. It's the most honoring way of asking for something. Let me ask you, is that how we approach the world when we're asked by someone who is in authority over us to do something that we shouldn't? I mean, I guess the truth is I shouldn't have used the word shouldn't, right? I should have used the word can't, because if God says you can't do it, well, then you can't do it, right? The decision should have already been made. But remember, Daniel had already resolved in his heart not to do it, but he still asks the chief for permission to be allowed. What is he trying to do? He's trying to avoid conflict, right? He shows the one in authority over him respect and honor. It reminded me of the verse in Romans chapter 12. I'll put it behind me. Romans 12, verse 18. It says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. It's interesting. So as far as it depends on you, another version says, do everything you can to live at peace with everyone. And that's what Daniel does. Now, don't get me wrong. If the request was denied, Daniel won't sacrifice his obedience to God to do anything that's outside of that. As a matter of fact, we see that all throughout the book of Daniel. Daniel and his friends, whenever a challenge was put up against them of obey man or obey God, it was never even a choice. It was never even a decision. But see, my question is, do we have that strong of a commitment with God? With what we allow ourselves to eat? Has the decision already been made? Or will you have sex before marriage? If we get pushback, will we have that drink that we know that God has asked us not to do? Will we say no to watching that movie or that YouTube video that we know doesn't honor God? Will we listen to that song or listen to someone gossiping about someone when we know it's wrong? See, we are what we eat, right? What we ingest, what we allow inside ourselves. So we know that the true vine, we talked about that last week, that's what we're connected to. That's what's giving us all of our food and all of our nutrition. We know that's what we need to grow good fruit in our life. Are we only tapping into Jesus, or are we tapping into whatever seems good or pleasing in the moment? You know, what is convenient? What is, you know, what won't rock the boat? Because I don't want to offend anyone. What may make us look unpopular with the people that we're trying to build influence with? You are what you eat. Verse 9, and God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. It's interesting because God actually comes through on this one. He does. Doesn't always happen this way, but for this time it did. And look, by standing up for the truth, but also speaking the truth in love, doing it the right way, and showing honor to whom honor is due, those that are in authority over us. So what do they end up doing? Daniel builds a bridge. We talk about that a lot at FCA, right? Daniel builds a bridge. Now they have enough influence to at least speak to the chief. They've learned enough, you know, influence to where the chief is actually willing to listen to them. See, our ability to share the gospel will increase tremendously if we would just learn to ask nicely instead of demanding or telling people how they're wrong and how they're going against what the Bible says. Verse 10, and the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who assigned your food and your drink. For why should he see that you are in worse condition than the youths who are of your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king. And look, everything the chief said here is true. It is. Matter of fact, if they were brought before the king looking worse than everyone else, and the king found out it's because of the food that he gave them, he would lose his life. Because he's been given this as, you know, you do this. And if you don't, then you didn't mess with the king. He would have dealt with you. But see, the fact that he was actually willing to talk to Daniel, what did that say? It means that he was willing to build a bridge. He actually honored the person that he was under authority. And look, those are the bridges that we're supposed to be building in this world, right? Because we're trying to reach people who don't know Jesus, who may not understand what we do. Verse 11, then Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. I love that. Test your servants. I mean, what an awesome statement of faith. What are they basically saying? They were convinced that by walking in obedience with God would show better results than not walking in obedience. And they firmly believed to the point where they were willing to stake their life on it. But I also firmly believe that if the steward basically said, nope, no deal, that they still would have said, well, you know, look, I tried, you know. I wanted you to allow us to do that, but I'm not going to follow things that are outside the will of God. I'm not going to be disobedient to God. Because remember, you know, we have a track record that we'll see all throughout the book of Daniel. Remember Daniel chapter 3? We preached this a number of, you know, Sundays ago. Remember, even if you don't remember that, read Daniel chapter 3 this week, and it will remind you of a certain fiery furnace. But see, do we have that type of relationship with God? Do we have that level of trust with him? Let's be honest. You can look and read through the Bible of the different things that we're commanded to do, and at face value, they don't make a lot of sense. Matter of fact, they're not logical at all. If you look at them, they almost seem counterproductive. I mean, why should I follow that? That doesn't make any sense. And unless we're willing to put our faith and trust in God, we may look at them and say, no. I mean, look, giving God 10% of everything you make before you do anything to it, does that make logical sense? Especially when some of you, you know, look at your finances and, Pastor, I don't even make enough with everything I make to pay my bills. Or we're just barely getting by. Giving God 10 before? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, giving God the best part of your day for times of prayer, worship, you know, quiet time with Him. Well, Pastor, that doesn't make any sense because I don't even have enough time to do all the things I'm supposed to anyway. So how do I find more time or give God the best time when I don't even have enough time for what I need to do? You know, not cheating at school or not bending the rules at work in order to get ahead. Well, Pastor, what, everyone else is doing it. And if I don't do it, then they're going to get better stuff than me. Remember talking about that with my oldest son, Aaron. He said, you know, Dad, I see some guys cheating. And he's like, I'm getting worse grades than them. And they're not doing as much work than I am. And so in his mind, it doesn't make logical sense. I feel like I'm being punished for being obedient to God. You know, not lying, you know, because you don't want to hurt someone's feelings. Or you don't want to, you know, create waves in that relationship. You know, because, well, Pastor, if I just avoid the truth in that, you know, they won't be hurt. You know, I won't have to deal with it. It's a win-win, right? But see, God has given us instructions on how to live our lives. When we're connected to Him and that's what's feeding our heart, then what should be coming out of us is good fruit. Those are the decisions that should have already been made. They're not choices anymore. God said that, so we don't. All right, so verse 14. So He listened to them in this matter and tested them for 7 days. See, that was the bridge. Were it not for the bridge, He never would have listened to them, and it wouldn't even have allowed God to give Him comfort or to soften His heart to where they could be heard. And at the end of 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So building a bridge, living a life of peace, giving honor to whom honor is due, whether you think honor is due to them or not, it doesn't matter. Are they in authority over you? Then yes, honor is due to them. Look, it doesn't matter who the president is. You give honor to whom honor is due. And whether they're a Democrat, Republican, or whatever, whoever your boss is, you give honor to whom honor is due. But Pastor, he treats me poorly. They're your boss. You give honor to whom honor is due. You got to build a bridge. And yeah, but Pastor, you don't know. You don't understand. Yeah, I do understand. They need Jesus. And you may be the only Christian that's there that has the ability to have influence in their life to shine the love of Jesus in their life. So don't you want them to not be a bad boss anymore? Well, then build a bridge. See, we can position ourselves through obedience to God to have strong influence in the world. We can, and we do that by trusting in God's word, trusting that even though His word may not make sense, if we obey what He asks us to do, His plan's perfect. His plan always works. May not work the way you want it to, but it will work. It's a promise. So verse 16, so the steward took away their food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. I think it's just so cool that it's actually the Babylonian guy who literally takes away their food. The food that would have defiled them, he's the one who takes it away and gives them vegetables instead. So, all right, verse 17, as for these four youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So again, by being honorable to God first, but also being honorable to those who are in authority over them, Daniel and his friends grew lots of good fruit. And if you read through the book of Daniel, you'll see time and time again, they're put in positions where they could compromise or they could do what God asks them to do. They could do what seems easy and convenient and comfortable at the time, or they could do what God asks them to do, and they would then remain in God's blessing. They would remain in God's plan for their life. So, look, with all that, what should we take home from today? Because, look, if we want to be taking care of your heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If we want that, I want to give you four steps that if you follow these, you'll be able to see that your heart is getting what it needs in order to be prepared to grow good fruit. Okay? So step number one, plan ahead. Matter of fact, I don't know who actually said this, but you probably have heard this statement, those who fail to plan, plan to fail. So we need to make sure that the decision has already been made on what we will do or won't do before it happens. Why? Because if the decision hasn't been made, you're going to do what you want and not necessarily what God has asked you to do. So if the Bible tells you, do not do this. So when it comes to where a decision or a choice needs to be made about that subject, well, the decision's already been made. It's not even a choice anymore. God said, don't do it, so I don't do it. That seems pretty simplistic, but do we really live our lives that way? I mean, if the Bible says, you have to do this, well, when the choice comes up of, should I do this? Well, is it really a choice anymore? Right? The decision should have already been made. Of course I'm going to do it because God said that I need to do it. See, Daniel's friends, they were resolved. I like that word. They were resolved to follow God. So no matter what the chief eunuch said, they were going to follow God. But see, by being, I guess you'd say, respectful and honoring, you know what it actually gave them the ability to do? For 10 days, it gave them the ability to, in front of the whole Babylonian nation, in front of the eunuch, they were allowed to basically be honorable both to their leader and to God. Even if it only lasted 10 days, they were able to be honorable to God. And if the eunuch after said, sorry, you got to eat the food, look, they still would have not done it. They would have said, no, I'm following God. But it's the decision had already been made. They had resolved in their heart, I'm not doing this. Do we do that in our lives? Have we already made the decision, I'm not watching that movie? I'm not. So when it comes up, it's the decision's already made. I'm not listening to that type of talk because the decision's already been made. I'm not eating or drinking or doing those things that I know are outside of what God says I can and can't do. If the decision's already made, then it kind of removes the stress, right? It removes the... So, number one, plan ahead. Number two, put in the work. And I have that kind of as three things. It's choices, cost, and commitment. Put in the work. Because most of the time, we know the right thing to do, right? It's all, I don't think that I think that we're trying to figure, ooh, what's the right thing? We know the right thing to do. It's just, will we do it? That's really the question, right? And each one of those choices that we make have a cost, right? And there's a cost whether you do something or don't do something. For example, let's say you get a cell phone bill. You can choose to pay it or not, right? Truth, right? Both have a cost, don't they? If you choose to pay it, what does it cost you? What the bill says. If you don't choose to pay it, what's the cost? Well, eventually they're going to shut your phone down. You're going to owe late fees and in order for you to get your phone back on. So there's a cost no matter what you choose to do. Even if it's, I choose to do nothing. There's a cost to that. So we need to be sure that we take care of our heart, that we make the right choices, that we pay the cost of that decision and we commit to do it all the way to the end. I've learned that a lot of us start strong, don't we? You know, we all right, we count the cost, we make the right choice, and we day one, we do it. It's just everything after that. So it's not just choices, it's not just cost, but it's commitment to finish it all the way to the end. And David was willing to do that. He made the hard choices, he counted the cost, and he was willing to pay it. And that showed, right, in his commitment to God. Because whether the eunuch said yes or no, they were resolved. They were going to follow what God asked them to do. So, plan ahead, put in the work. Third is produce fruit. And that means being willing to actually be honest with what you're producing. We have to be willing to check. We have to see if what we're doing in our life is producing the fruit that that God expects us to produce. And sometimes that means, you know, actually spending time in his presence to allow him to tell you and for you to see what you're producing. Well, and another thing is that it's not even necessarily the things that we think are wrong or bad fruit in our life. We talked on this last week. Sometimes we need to make sure if it's a God fruit and not just a good fruit. Because look at it this way. Let's say that you are in a relationship that you honestly believe is from God. If you're not willing to check in to see what the fruit is from that relationship, if it's actually honoring God, if it's actually increasing your relationship with God, it's possible that you're in a relationship that in your eyes may be good, but it's not God. Because remember, not necessarily everything is good is necessarily God. How easy would it have been for Daniel to look at the food and say, looks good. I'm a prisoner. I've got no choice. Because if I don't eat it, I die. So this must be God saying to do this. You think there may be times in our life where we think we're backed up in a corner? Well, I can't tithe this week. Well, I should, you know, sleep with this person. I should have this drink, or I should listen to that, because if I don't, then it's going to do damage in other ways. When in the reality is, if you honor God first, then he takes care of all that other stuff. Amen. I want to go more into that, but I don't have time. So number one, plan ahead. Number two, put in the work. Number three, produce fruit. And the fourth one is we need to be purposefully accountable. The Bible talks about the fact that two are better than one. Matter of fact, the Bible says that a three-strung cord is not easily broken. And a reality in the church of today is that most people skip this step. They do. They're willing to plan ahead. They're willing to count the cost. They're willing to even, you know, check themselves for fruit. They'll make the right choices, but they're not willing to let other people know when they're in trouble. They'll not let other people know when they're having a hard time, when they honestly need some extra help to stop them from making really bad mistakes in their life. Look, I know I need other people in my life. Why? Because I know I'm not perfect. Sometimes I miss God. And you know what? Sometimes when I miss God, the pride inside of me refuses to admit it. Instead, you know, it causes me to walk down a path that I know is wrong, and it's causing me to make even more poor decisions, which leads to even more poor fruit. I need friends who love me enough to risk offense to me and say, buddy, what are you doing? That's not right. That's not what God says to do. Matter of fact, God says to do the complete opposite of that. I need one that will speak the truth in love. One that will actually risk their relationship in order to save me. Let's be honest. We can't see sometimes some of our own mistakes. We don't see it. It's hard to see stuff on ourselves. We don't like to admit poor choices. Matter of fact, we do our best when those things happen to fix them ourselves, don't we? Which often leads to more poor choices. Daniel was blessed, though, right? He had three good friends. And like I said, read Daniel 3, and you'll see just the quality of friends these guys were. They were willing to do anything to remain obedient to God. And those are the type of people we need to surround ourselves with. See, look, if you look in your life and you can't really point out two or three friends that you can have that type of relationship with, people who love you enough to kind of shake you and say, what are you doing? Why are you going down that road? Where have you been? Why? I'm seeing fruit in you that shouldn't be there. You're an olive tree. Why is there figs hanging from you? I would recommend looking at 2020 as the year that you begin to invest in these kind of relationships. Look, there's a cost. Remember, there's a cost for not doing something and there's a cost for doing something. There's a cost. You know what? You may go to someone and they may say, no, I don't want that relationship. So there's risk, right? And you're going to have to then take some of your time that you had doing something else and then use it to invest in someone else. But I can tell you this, it's much easier to build a bridge when it isn't raining outside. See, when do we normally go for help to friends or people who aren't even friends? When it's storming outside, when our life is a wreck. Try to build a bridge when it's a downpour is really silly. That's foolish. You build bridges when the weather's good. But I can tell you this, you are what you eat. There's no way around it. You are what you eat. Matter of fact, this week, I want you to spend time looking at what you're allowing inside of you. What are you reading? What are you listening to? What are you watching? Who are the people that you are hanging out with? I can promise you that's what's going into your heart. That is what is creating fruit inside of you. I'll end with this verse, Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. Many of you know this. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So I can promise you, if you look at your time, look at your credit card bill. You'll see what you love. You will. Pastor, look at them and determine where your heart is. Because that's what's feeding you. We talked about it last week. Those who are in Christ are new creations. The only reason why you're a new creation is because you basically said, God, you have the ability to chop me off whatever vine I'm connected to and connect me to you so that everything that flows into me now comes from you. Well, unless you can look at your life and see that new creation inside of you, and you're doing everything it is necessary to make sure that you stay a new creation, that you're living the life that God's asked you to live, then are you new? Are you new? Because one of the dangerous things that you can do is let other people know or say that, no, I actually am a follower of Jesus. But the reality is your life doesn't give that fruit. A number of the people that I will often deal with in my role, it's sad, but sometimes I have to undo some of the damage that's been done. Have you ever met people like that in your life? Where they say, oh, I've heard about you. Or they point to different examples and things in their life. I find myself having to apologize a lot for some of, I guess you'd say, the mistakes that other people have made. But it does give me an open door because it allows me to tell them the truth. We're not perfect, forgiven, not there yet, but trying to get where we are supposed to be. But are you planning ahead? Have you count the cost? Are you going to make the right choices? You know, are you staying committed to that? Do you do periodic fruit checks to see what's inside? And being honest, and I'm telling you, the best way is number four. It's to have other people who love you and love Jesus look inside your life and say, you know what? This is what I see. Yeah, but that's not what I see. We'll step on the scale. Let me put this around your arm and let's check. You know, let me draw a little bit of blood and we'll test it to see what's really going on inside of you. That's the reason why people don't go to doctors, right? Because they're scared of what they're going to hear. People like that die. People like that, the problem is they end up in my office after a 30-year marriage and now they're just trying to start to deal with some of the problems. They come to me when the son is completely rebellious and he's not even in the house anymore. And they want to undo something that took them 20 years to create. We don't like physical. So this week, let's look at our hearts. Next week, we'll look at our minds. Next week after that, we'll look at our bodies. Next week after that, we'll look at our relationships. Not just our relationship with everyone here, but our relationship with God, because you need both. All of those things, if you take care of them, will allow you to have the ability to produce good fruit. Good fruit will build bridges. It will, because people will see things in you that is not normal. It's not things they see every day, but it's something that they're going to see and say, wow, I want that in my life. Amen?